Well, good morning again. So good to see you all here. I just, on behalf of the family, thank you so much for coming. As we gather this morning to remember, to celebrate the life of Kay Hensley, to remember her, I know there's many memories in this room, and you're sharing stories, and there are many stories. And so thank you for coming this morning again on behalf of the family. And I'd like to just open in prayer as we begin our service. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that we could gather to remember a life well lived, to remember Kay Hensley, all that she means to us and all that she means to so many people who aren't even in this room. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness to us, for having known her and to be able to celebrate that she knows you and knows you now even more perfectly. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together and that your name would be glorified in and through everything that we say today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Gary Brewster to come up and share, and he's going to be leading this first part of the service. Thank you.
We have gathered to pay our last respects to the memory of Kay Lorraine Hensley. Kay was born on April 23, 1952, to James Edward and Virginia Lammy Boxley in Trenton, Missouri. When she was about 5 years of age, her family moved to the Kansas City area. They settled in a house just over the hill here on 104th Street, and she literally lived there the rest of her life. Her parents were devout Christians who were members of the Baptist Church. Just a few weeks ago, I asked Kay about her church affiliation, and she lit up and said she grew up in the Marlboro Baptist Church at 8129 Paseo in Kansas City. I met Kay in the mid-1980s. At that time, she was not going to that church. And the fact that she just popped up and gave me the street address, I'm not sure what that says. I don't know if that's a tribute to her memory or if it's a tribute to how much she loved that church, but it really struck me at the time. Her parents were very active in the church. Her father was an ordained deacon. Her mother served in the nursery. Kay was actively involved in the youth group. When she was 12 years of age, the church held a series of revival meetings. We don't hear much about revivals these days, but what that means is every night for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, the church would gather together and listen to evangelistic preaching. Evangelistic preaching is preaching that proclaims the evangel, and that simply means the good news. The good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message Kay heard at that revival meeting. When she went home that night, she told her mother that the message had really spoken to her heart, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now, if you know anything about Baptist churches, you know that we like to extend gospel invitations. And what that means is when the preacher is done preaching, we turn to a hymn and invite anybody who'd like to make a profession of faith in Christ Jesus to come to the front of the church and make it known. The parlance is to go forward. Well, the next night at revival meeting, Kay went forward and made her profession of faith in Christ. Shortly thereafter, she was baptized, obeyed the Lord in baptism. Her life was transformed. Her sins were forgiven. She endeavored thereafter to live for Jesus Christ. Kay was an only child. She was very close to her parents. She and her mother liked to start the day by drinking a cup of coffee and talking about things. She was a daddy's girl who loved to hang out with her dad. She willingly did the chores. She loved to cook. She was a people person who never met a stranger. When I asked her family what kinds of things she was involved in as a youngster, they didn't really know, except whatever it was, they figured it had something to do with hanging out with people. She loved to be with people. Kay graduated from Ruskin High School in 1970. She attended Southwest Baptist University, also Penn Valley Community College, and finally finished her Bachelor of Arts degree at Mid-American Nazarene College. She spent the majority of her career working in the medical profession, most notably at the Belton Family Practice Clinic in Belton, Missouri. She started at Belton Family Practice in the mid-1980s, and that's when I met her, because my wife worked there, and Kay became her boss. But more than that, Kay became her lifelong friend. Kay had a unique ability to cultivate friendships with the people who reported to her without losing their respect and without diminishing her authority. That's something you don't see very often in business. Managers can either be bosses or they can be your friend. It's a rare trait that the manager is able to put both of those together. Somehow, Kay figured that out. Not just with my wife, but many of the people. I'm just looking at the room, and I can see many of them here who worked with her at that time, about whom I think say the same thing. It was during those years at Belton Family Practice Clinic, someone introduced her to a young man named Mark Hensley. They fell in love. Kay's sister-in-law said that Kay married the love of her life. Not everyone can say that about their marriage, but Kay could. Kay and Mark attended the First Calvary Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Kay loved to sing. I don't think she was a soloist, but she loved to sing in the choir. First Calvary had an awesome choir leader, and Kay and Mark were both involved in the music ministry. One Christmas, the church rented the municipal auditorium in downtown Kansas City. They presented a program, an old-fashioned Christmas program. I don't remember the name exactly. It had something to do with Courier Knives, Courier Knives Christmas, because the setting was a Courier Knives background. It looked like something straight out of one of their paintings. Arletta and I had the privilege of going and watching her and Mark singing that. It was evident not only that they loved the Christmas story, but that they loved the church that allowed them to be part of that program. Mark and Kay never had any children of their own, but that doesn't mean they didn't have any children. Mark's brother had two daughters and one son, and the three of them became Mark and Kay's surrogate children. Kay spoke about them as if they were her kids. They spoke about her as if she were a second mom. It was an unusual and a beautiful relationship. Every year after Thanksgiving, the kids would move in with Mark and Kay and help them decorate the house for Christmas. Every Memorial Day weekend, Kay and Mark would throw them in the car and they'd make a little trip to central Missouri where Kay grew up. She was always buying them gifts. She would say things like, "I saw this in the store. It made me think of you." Allison told me Kay was the most amazing person she ever met. That's high praise coming from a relative. High praise coming from a niece. I actually met those three youngsters in 2015. I think you were still in high school at the time, but it was just before Mark died. Arletta and I dropped by the house to visit with Kay. They were right at home in Kay's place. It was apparent that their place, or her place, was their place. By the time they came along, Kay and Mark had moved their membership to this church. And whenever the kids spent the weekend with Mark and Kay, they loaded them in the car and brought them here as if they were their own kids. And in my written obituary, I left Oliver out. I don't know how I managed that, but Oliver, I understand, stole the show and stole the heart for Kay. And I know he was running around here earlier, but I can't not mention him in what I'm doing here. I'm going to stop the obituary at this point. I'll come back to it in a few moments. But I know there are several who'd like to share stories about Kay. I know some of the families prepared to do that. If as they're doing that, you think of something you would like to say, you are welcome to come to the front of the church. We'll give you the microphone. You can share a favorite story about Kay, about Mark, and what they meant to your life. So I really don't have a list, but Caitlin, you look ready. Would you like to go first? Bless you, young lady. Okay, so you can just stand down there. Good deal.
Aunt Kay was the happiest person I have ever met. She always had a smile on her face, especially when she was all blinged out in her jewelry. Every time I went to visit her before she passed, we changed out her jewelry, and she would get so excited. Especially when Ollie would comment in on how pretty the bracelets were, mostly the pearls. If only it was Christmas time, because he would have loved her variety of jewelry with green and red bells on them. Aunt Kay was a person who would constantly encourage you and tell you she believed in you. She loved to have long talks about life and past memories. I remember one Christmas Eve a few years back, she had asked me to drive her to the mail office to drop off some things in those mail carrier boxes, and we spent about an hour and a half driving around and just talking about life and catching up. Eventually, Allison called us and told us to get our butts back there, and we lied and said we got lost, which Allison knew wasn't true. She loved going shopping with us and shopping for us, like Gary mentioned, and most of the time when I saw her, she always had something to give me. I will always cherish my time with her forever. She was another mom to me, and every time a Kay's Jeweler commercial comes on, I'll think of her saying, "Every kiss begins with me," which my Uncle Mark started. I already miss you so much, Aunt Kay, and I always will.
Sorry, I'm Allison. I'm Kay's oldest niece and the oldest of the three kids. I'm just going to freehand this because I could not write anything. Aunt Kay, like they said, was like a mom growing up to us. We would go anytime we ever wanted to go over. We didn't even have to call half the time. We would just show up in the driveway. That house was our home, and Aunt Kay and Uncle Mark always made sure that we knew that that door was always open, no matter what time of day, no matter what time, anything. One time, Caitlin got bit by a dog, and my parents were panicking, and my mom was like, "I'm just gonna go take you to Aunt Kay and Uncle Mark's house." And I think it was like 10 or 11 at night. We just knocked on the door. She's like, "Can you watch the two of them and just scoot us in there?" And she took Caitlin to the hospital. Aunt Kay was, even at the end, she was always thinking of everyone else. She was the most selfless person I have ever met in my entire life. She always made sure that you knew how loved you were, how appreciated you were, and just how much you meant to her in every single, whether it was a text, a conversation, a phone call, we always ended that with, "I love you so much." My favorite story of my aunt was actually a really bad time in my life. I just found out that I was pregnant, and no one knew, and I was absolutely terrified, and I was gonna have to go to my first ultrasound by myself, and I never felt so scared or so alone in my entire life. And my aunt, I just called her, and I wasn't even gonna tell her, I just needed to talk to her at that time, and she immediately knew something was wrong, and she's like, "Allison, what's going on?" And I just broke down, and I just told her, and I said, "I'm so scared, and I have to go to this," and she's like, "I'm on my way." And she showed up there, and she held my hand the entire time, and she just told me how good of a mom I was going to be, and how much she loved me, and how much that baby was going to be loved, and she just said that the whole time, and I found out I was like a whole month farther along than I thought, so then I was also sitting in my car for about 45 minutes with her. Well, I just stared at this picture of my baby, and it was the happiest and, like, the most terrified I've ever been. And she just sat there and talked to me, and she just said, "I cannot, you know," she's like, "that baby is going to be so perfect." That's all she kept saying. "He's going to be so perfect. Well, he or she is going to be so perfect." And then Oliver came, and Oliver was the light of her life. even more than all of us. She said, I never had favorites between the three of you, but Oliver, he's my favorite. She would just rave and rave and rave, and she didn't know a stranger. She would make friends everywhere she went. So, and she always would bring us up in conversation. Every doctor that I talked to or nurse, they always referred to us. They always called and they said, is this Kay Hensley's daughter? And I just started saying yes because she was my mom. We lost a really good woman, but she is very happy and she is with the love of her life. She talked about how she was so ready to go be with Jesus, and she was ready to be with our uncle. And these past 6.5 years were hard for her. She always made sure that we knew how much our uncle loved us, how much she loved us. Even when she was hurting so bad herself, she never let on anything too much. And she was just a great woman. My baby. Aunt Kay, we love you and we'll forever love you.
Thank you, Alice. Floor is open for any who'd like to share a favorite memory about Kay. Yes, ma'am, come on up.
Hi, I'm Annette Roman. I was Kay's neighbor across the street. We moved there about 32 years ago, and her father came right over the same day. Hi, how are you? How you doing? He knew I was a nurse. I had two boys, and they just opened their arms and just embraced my boys. So 32 years, we know we've been their neighbors across the street. And then when Mark died, it was right about the time I retired. So the Lord has divine order. So Kay and I just kind of just bonded with each other. We became the ladies in the window. You know, looking out the window and saying, hey, you see that? No, you see that? And so she would always come to me, and I would come to her. Because for so long, I was just a person, not just a nurse, but a caring person. I found that spirit in her. So to find somebody right across the street from you that you knew, regardless of who you are, you know whose you are. So I knew who Kay was in God, so I know who she was. She was a woman after God's heart. So I truly miss her. My husband and I, she would come over there and bring him peaches, you know. She would see something at the store and buy me a nail file, a real pretty one. And she said, I got it in my purse today, and I keep it there. But she would always there for me. So we would look out for get the same lawn, man. She needed her grass cut. If she needed her, you know, garage or door would be open and she'd be in the house. I'd go close the garage and knock on the door, let her know. You know, and he would go over there and shovel her yard for, you know, grass and stuff like that, and snow out the yard. So she was always just a kind person. I love her and I miss her so much. And she really loved her nieces and nephews. She talked about you all the time. We prayed together. She prayed for my mother before my mother died. When I go care for my mother, we would pray together. And she said, well, I put her on the prayer list at church, you know. How Miss Lily doing? God's my mother's name. And so I really miss her. But most of all, she is definitely a woman after God's heart. And I miss her.
For those that don't know me, I'm Lisa, and I met Kay Hensley when she became my office manager. It was back in 2007, and me and her didn't start off on the best foot. We never saw eye to eye for the first 3 months. I challenged her, she challenged me. But in that beginning stages and phases, she did. I did cross the line, and she did write me up. There was choice words said, and we kept it professional, always honest. She a huge person of God. I was at odds with God at the time, and she she goes, I'm going to pray for you. I was like, you go for it. And, you know, I didn't have the best upkeeping and everything like that. But as soon as I had Peyton, my daughter, she's here today, I brought her in for her first shots. It was like the heck with LJ. Here comes Peyton. That is her. She loves babies. She loves everybody's kids and everything like that. And I was like, I have to get my kids shots. And she was like, well, I'll hold her down. And I was like, okay, well, you be in her face while I have to give her shots. And it was just the comforting times and everything like that. Peyton would look up and here comes one shot. Ah! You know, and Kay would, you're okay, you're okay, you're going to make it through this and everything like that. And then just through the years and everything like that, I knew who Britton, Allison, and Caitlin were. I knew those are her kids. She had pictures on every desk, every clinic we followed each other to. And as I grew in my skill set with medical assistant office, everything like that, she was like, you need to be a supervisor. Her and Donna Barker said, hey, you're a good candidate. You're a good people person. You're outgoing. You're everything like that. And I was like, but I don't like to be ugly. I don't like to write people up. And Kay goes, just remember your first write-up. And I was like, okay, I can write people up. But she gave me the strength, endurance, and tenacity that it takes to just be a better person and always be honest about everything. And she loved you, and you unconditionally. Like, I can't get over that. And she cherished our letter, Dr. B, Dr. Williams, Dr. Ridley, Diane Babbitt. She just loved everybody. I don't know where to begin or where to end with her. I just cherish her, and she will always be loved, and I'm glad we have stories, memories, everything to share. I love you guys.
Thank you, Lisa.
I didn't prepare anything either, but I think I can keep it pretty short. My name's Arletta, and I've worked with Kay since the mid-80s. I think the common theme is just how much she loved people, and she loved me, us. I thought it was so fun how she was such a people person, but the memory that she had just amazed me. Years later, she would remember stories about me and my kids that I didn't even remember, and she would recall them, and I would find myself often saying, I'm so glad you remembered that. I better write it down because I didn't even remember it. But she was just so connected. I couldn't even believe how she knew that I had three brothers, where they lived. She knew my brothers' wives' names, my brothers' kids' names, even until the last. I mean, she would say, and how's Chuck? How's Nathan? It was just incredible. She just truly cared, and she invested her life well, and we will miss her.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm Kimberly. I'm the kids' mom. So ever since my babies were born, they always had somebody. If we were fighting or if something was happening, I always knew that they had a strong woman or a level head to help help them and love them. They used to come, Mark and Kay did, every year they would take the kids to Trenton and Jamesport, and the kids would come home and they would be so excited and have all of these amazing stories and these amazing memories. And as a child, that's how I was with my grandparents, or these memories that I made that I cherish forever. So the fact that they had not just a grandmother, grandfather, but they had an aunt and an uncle that they looked at that way. I was never jealous of her for being a second mom to them. I was so grateful, because when life got overwhelming, I always knew Kay was there to step in. When Scott and I were married, I remember the very first time that Kay and I talked after my wedding, she said, I never thought I would have a sister whose mother I was older than. So it was always an interesting relationship, but even afterwards, she always called me her sister, and she loved me regardless of anything that I could have done or said or been. She loved me unconditionally, and just like she loved everybody else unconditionally, her faith, her kindness, and her openness was inspiring to me as a mother. She made me a better mother. Sometimes I thought I wasn't good enough because of what a great woman she was. So, very inspiring to me as a woman. The last couple of years were very, very difficult, and I was blessed enough to get to be a part of that time and spend those extra hours with her. We had just some of the most ridiculous and most wonderful conversations that I will cherish forever. But one day, I was cleaning in her house, and I came across these toys for a toddler girl. And I was like, Kay, you know Allison has a little boy, right? And Allison and Caitlin, they're not going to play with these. They're a little old for that. And she started laughing, and she said, oh, those are for Dr. Bradley's grandchildren. She always thought of everybody else, and if they had a child, she was all about it. Growing up, before my children were born, there was a set of twins. I don't remember their names. The twins. And oh my gosh, she used to just talk about them. It was like I knew them, and I have never met them ever. And their stories growing up, and I just thought, wow, she really loves them. And then my children got to be those stories and those things, and it was so wonderful knowing that somebody loved my kids unconditionally, just like I did. She loved them like she was their mother, and she loved me like I was her sister, and she loved Arletta like a sister, and Lisa like a sister, and Diane like a sister. And the people that she was able to weave into my life, like Arletta and Diane and Lisa, in unexpected ways, I'll be grateful for those friendships forever.
Thank you.
The last time I saw Kay was a week before she died. Arletta and I walked into her room, and she lit up. First thing she said was, I'm going to see Jesus. Well, on June 23rd, 2022, Kay did go to see Jesus, and she's with him now. She was preceded in death by her husband, Mark, by her parents, James and Virginia Lammy Boxley, and by her father-in-law, Gordon Hensley. Kay was blessed with many family and friends who mourn her loss, including cousin Linda Clay Hollingsworth, her mother-in-law Carol Hensley, brothers-in-law Brad Hensley and Scott and Kim Hensley, nieces and nephews Allison Hensley, her fiancé Nathan Eckenberg, Airman First Class Britton Hensley, Caitlin Hensley, Brandon Hahn, and many more nieces and nephews, uncles and aunts Barbara Cordell, Mike and Linda Hensley, Pat and Rana Hensley, and Cheryl and Alan Paxson, and dear friends, Kimberly, Diane, Patty, and Arletta. And now, Alan Paxson is going to come and sing, How Great Thou Art. God bless you, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alan. That was really good. Thank you for blessing us with that. It's been so good to hear all your memories and testimonies. I know I probably didn't introduce myself. My name is Athol Barnes. I'm the pastor here at Grace Point, and was Kay's pastor. And it's been good to hear the love that you have for Kay, and to know that the relationships that she had with us was just a tip of the iceberg of the relationships and the love that she shared with so many people. She was a joy to be around, you know, and as many of you have shared, she loved children. She loved people. She used to sit, when she came into the sanctuary, she'd sit in the back and many of you remember in the church that she would sit next to Judy Dodd. And every Sunday I came in, she'd get up and say, "I want my hug now." And she'd demand a hug, which I always loved receiving and giving. And she had such a beaming smile. She would smile widely. And last year, at the height of COVID, she asked me, she said, "I'd like to work with the youth. I want to help with the youth." And at that time, we'd started doing a youth program on Sunday nights. And she said, "I want to get involved with that and help with that." And she jumped right in. She had a huge impact on some of the young girls. So we had probably from about age 10 to 15. And she would love being around these young girls in the church. And she'd lead a small group. And so at the end of our evenings together, we would always break into small groups. And I would say, "Okay, these are your, this is your group. These are your little girls that you, to mentor, to pray with them, to encourage them." And without fail, every week she'd come back and she'd say, "I'm learning more, I think, than they're learning." She was so humble and she loved them and she was just received the joy from them. And she was never short of enthusiasm. A couple of weeks ago when I first visited Kay in her room at the care center, as many of you experienced, she was so full of joy and she was looking forward to seeing Jesus. She was looking forward to seeing Mark again. And like many of you, the first word she said to me was, "I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven." And there was a genuine joy and expectation. She had a faith that was that expectation of life thereafter or hereafter. Her face lit up. It didn't look like someone that in a few days would pass away. She really was filled with joy. So I asked her about heaven. I said, what are you looking forward to? What are you expecting?" And first she said, "Mark." She's looking forward to seeing Mark. And then after a while she says, "I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus." And I said, "Once you see Jesus, everything else will fall into perspective." I have a habit of asking people their testimony, especially people that I know are going to be passing away soon. So I have this habit of saying, "Tell me your testimony. Tell me your story of how you came to know the Lord." And just to make sure of their salvation, but also to hear their stories. And she shared with me exactly what Gary shared. And it was wonderful to hear that. And I asked about heaven, and she said she didn't know much about heaven. She said, "I don't really know what to expect." And we spoke about heaven, and I gave her a little booklet. Some of you may know Randy Alcorn's book on heaven, and I gave her a little booklet that I always give to people about, and it's the title is just Heaven. And she was very excited to receive it. She was excited to learn more about what the Bible says about heaven. You know, we so easily have this concept, this thinking in our minds that when people die, they leave the world of the living and they go to the world of the dead. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're all going through this life slowly on our way to death. We're decaying. We're ask anyone over the age of 50 and say our bodies don't do what they used to do and respond the way they used to do. And but we all know in our hearts that there is an eternal life. And so those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will get to spend eternity in the presence of God. And there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Again in John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Sadly, you know, we live in an age where we're afraid of dying. There's this innate fear of dying. We don't like to talk in our culture about death. We don't face death. We don't approach it. We don't like to talk about what comes next. Sadly, even in the church, we don't want to talk about what comes next. We seldom hear people speaking about the realities of heaven and hell. What is the next phase for us as all human beings? We're trained to subconsciously not talk about it, not approach it. It's a taboo subject. You don't speak about it. But statistically, I don't know if you know, statistically, one out of one person dies. Every one of us. What happens after that? Our souls are designed for eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11, we read that God has set eternity in the hearts of man. Subconsciously, we know this is not all there is. Whether we choose to ignore it or not, deep down, we know it to be true. A few years ago, I preached a sermon series on heaven and hell called What Comes Next. And it had a huge impact on so many different, so many lives of people. One just saying, well, I never thought about that. And others saying, I really should start thinking about that. And many lives were changed. And primarily my goal was to get people thinking about eternity. You know, the world around us captivates us with entertainment, captivates us with comfort. And our goal, almost, we were told, is, well, you've got to try and create a bit of heaven down here, because this is all there is. Now, no matter how much we try to capture some bit of heaven, it's never going to be anywhere close to what heaven's really going to be like. The reality is, the world is passing away. I believe we'd be healthier if we spent more time considering eternity. Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 6, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he continues his teaching by saying that whole passage on do not worry. Do not worry. Kay, I believe, she deposited a lot of treasure in heaven. She stored up her treasures in heaven. And we live for today. How we live today matters for eternity. Are you laying up your treasures in heaven? Heaven is real. The Bible says that one day we will get a new body. We'll get a body that'll never decay, never get old, never break down, no cancer, no diabetes, and any kind of suffering. We'll recognize loved ones and people that we've longed to meet one day. We'll bask in the pure presence of our Creator. That's what we were made for, to live in perfect communion with God. Our souls were designed for that. And we'll be perfectly at peace and perfectly fulfilled. Death for the believer is just the beginning, as Kay knows today. It's just the beginning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. You know, Kay had one request of me, and that was to tell you all today about her faith and hope in Jesus Christ and the gospel message. She knew what she was looking forward to. She knew Jesus. She believed that Jesus died for her sins. She believed that Jesus rose again. He overcame death, and she believed, as we can believe, that we will spend eternity with Jesus in the presence of God the Father. So the question that she asked me to ask you, do you know the hope that Kay had and expressed? Do you know that hope? Do you have the certainty of the relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, please, you can come and speak to me after the service. You can speak to Gary or one of the other church folk here as well. But please speak to us. I want to leave you with a poem I found yesterday, and I love this. I once scorned every fearful thought of death, but when it was but the end of pulse and breath. But now my eyes have seen that past the pain, there is a world that's waiting to be claimed. Earthmaker, holy, let me now depart, for living such a temporary art, and dying is but getting dressed for God. Our graves are merely doorways cut in sod. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the life of Kay Hensley. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that you deposited in her that was so freely given to so many around her. We thank you for the love that she shared with so many and the lives that she impacted. We thank you for the testimony that she has and declared, in spite of trials, in spite of difficulties and pain, her testimony was secure. Thank you, Lord, for the good news that we have. Thank you for the assurance that we have of an eternal life spent with you. Please help us, Lord, even through this day, to consider our lives in light of eternity as we come face to face with losing a loved one. And we thank you, Lord, for your peace. I pray that you would comfort the family, you would comfort those that are mourning today, and that your peace would rest on them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to sing a hymn together, and if you would stand with us, Bob will lead us in that.
The word should be up on the screen. Would you like to stand? I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy he Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how my swaying faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Roseanne. That concludes our service together, but we have a luncheon prepared for many people, so you're all welcome to join and have some fellowship together and spend some time with family. And so please, if you'd like to join for lunch, it's through those doors in the dining room in there. But thank you again so much for coming. And on behalf of the family, thank you for coming. God bless you.